Thank you for singing. Those girls have been practicing all afternoon. It does my heart good as a pastor, dad, just in general when young people come and say, "Hey, pastor, can we sing tonight?" What are you going to tell them? No, absolutely not. Because it's just good that young people have some zeal about themselves and want to serve the Lord with whatever way they are capable of serving them. So thank you, ladies, for that. I really appreciate it. And I know the church enjoys when young people get up and sing to the Lord with their heart. Amen. Thank you again, girls. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. We're going to continue our study in raising our children and how we ought to raise them. I'm going to kind of recap a little bit from last Sunday night. That way we can catch up on things. We were talking about four requirements for rearing children. I said that to somebody before church, and he said, "Only four?" I said, "Well, there's probably a lot more. But there's some really good Bible here that we can learn and some things that we can see that God expects of us in raising our children." Hebrews chapter 11. You brought your Bible, say amen. Amen. Good. Brought your Bibles to church. I actually walked up here tonight. That's why I walked down. I left my Bible sitting on my desk. I said, I probably need this tonight. So I'm thankful that it was there. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read in verse number 6, but let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Lord, thank you for these young ladies who just sang. Thank you tonight, Lord, for the prayer requests, the praise testimonies, Lord, the good things you've done for us. We know that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Lord, we're so thankful that you are the God of heaven, and Lord, you're the God of everything. Lord, I'm thankful you know the beginning from the end. Lord, although we get in times where we have no idea what is going on, I'm so thankful we have a God who knows everything. And I'm thankful you live and abide with us and that we sit in heavenly places with you. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, tonight I ask you in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this study. If there's one thing, Lord, I believe the devil don't want is for us to raise our children godly and to learn to even live godly in and of ourselves. And us as parents and grandparents, Lord, we must not fail the next generation. Lord, I don't want to be like in the book of Judges where we're just one generation away from knowing not God. Lord, I thank you so much for the young people we had in church today, the new faces, the young men and the young ladies that showed up today, the ones that are even here tonight, Lord, that don't have to be. Their families may not be here, but they have enough character to want to learn more about you. And oh God, I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for our bus kids, Lord, who willingly get up. Thank you for them being faithful and bringing their Bibles to church. Lord, it is a blessing to see you working in their lives. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll never stop. You'll never take your mighty hand of work off of our church here. Lord, may we always serve you all the days of our life. And Lord, long live old-time religion. Lord, now cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is what, church? Impossible to please him." So let's ask a simple question. Can I please God without faith? What's the answer? According to the Bible, the answer is no. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God," big G God, "must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, if you take this verse and you apply it to parenting, I wonder how many of us parents would say, "I have diligently sought the Lord for my children. I have prayed for my kids. I've wondered." I told you one of the scariest times in my life was when I learned that I was going to be a dad, and I began to think to myself, "Oh my Lord, I am not ready for this." And listen, truth be told, we in and of ourselves aren't ready for much, are we? But I do know this, that we have a God who prepares us and gives us the recipe on how to rear our children and how to raise our children, and I have diligently sought hours and hours and sometimes days on end on what to do about situations with certain of my children, and not just my children. I've counseled for many, many years other people's kids, and I spent hours in prayer and in the Bible trying to figure out, God, what is it that I can do to help this young man? Or what is it that my wife and I can do to help this young lady? God, how can we be a difference in their lives? Well, the answer is all right here. But there's some things tonight that I believe will help you and me raise our children. These requirements consist of, number one, faith. We're just going to recap through this one really quick. Faith in rearing children means that you are willing to believe even if you do not understand. Now, how many would say, "I do not understand children"? We just don't, do we? But we do have a God who understands them. How can we prove that? Because He fearfully and wonderfully made them. He knew them while they were in their mother's womb. He created mankind. He understands the anatomy of the boys when they become teenagers. And all your parents say what? Amen. Listen, we don't understand it. I heard my wife say yesterday, I hate it when boys become teenagers. She's dealing with one of them right now about leaving their, you know, they just start going through that stuff and they get these little things pop up on their face. And she's like, stop doing that. Leave them alone. Wash your face. Take a shower. It helps. And she said, I hate teenagers. I'm like, well, we don't hate teenagers. We just don't like some of the side effects. But God gave us the grace to deal with the teenagers just like He gave us the grace to love that little newborn baby that's so sweet and so cuddly. See, God understands even when we don't. Even if you personally believe different, you must have faith that God is in control. You are willing to follow God rather than yourself. How many have realized that your way of parenting is not God's way of parenting? My way of parenting is do what I say or else. Well, God's way of parenting is, hey, Brother Drew, I've given you some instructions to live by and you break my commandments all the time. Wonder how I feel about that. You ever think about how we make God feel? As His children? The Bible calls us sons of God. Hey, if you're saved, say amen. Then you have a heavenly Father who expects you to obey Him. Just like we expect our children and our grandchildren to obey us. Sometimes God's ways may not seem to be the right way, or sometimes God's ways may not seem to be the right ways, but remember that God's ways are higher than ours, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The reason we must trust God is because He knows what is at the end of the road. He sees from a higher vantage point. You know, we say it all the time, I'm so thankful that God can see the end of this thing. But how often have we said that with our mouth and in our heart, find it hard to trust Him when we're in the middle of that storm? We'll stand and we'll say, yes, God has seen the beginning from the end, and I believe that, but I just don't think He's capable of getting me through this. But we just admitted that He can see the end. Why don't we just trust Him? Why don't we just learn to trust Him with our children? He sees from a higher vantage point. We are to listen to God and to be in tune with Him. When we come to a fork in the road and the left path looks good to us, but God says the right path is the correct path, we are to choose the right path. We are to trust Him for the end results. James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is what, church? Dead. Being alone, someone once said, faith is the affirmation and the act that bids God's eternal truth to be a present fact. It is one thing to hear what the Word of God says. It is another thing to go home and to put it to practice. When a person's way of thinking is opposite of what God says, he must say, God is right and I am wrong. You know, it'd be good to start your day just looking in the mirror. How many of you look in the mirror at least once a day? Well, when you do it tomorrow, just look in the mirror and say, you're wrong. He's right. You're wrong. He's right. You're wrong. He's right. And when you go through your day and you have a thought, and by the way, if you're saved, say amen. If you have a thought and the Holy Spirit convicts you of that thought and says, son, young lady, you know that's not right. Think back to your mirror and you say, you're wrong. He's right. And start listening to the convicting Holy Spirit of God. It bothers me when people think, or they say, I just can't help it. No. See, what you're saying is, you're not listening to God and you're being rebellious. That's the real problem here, because my Bible teaches me, greater is He that is within me than he that is what, church? In the world. And my Bible also teaches me this, that where sin abound, grace did what? Much more abound. So there's never a time when I'm going to accidentally just do wrong. You do wrong on purpose. Everybody okay? When we mess up, we mess up on purpose. There's no accidents. Because God hates sin. And for God not to convict you even before you follow through with your thought, would make him dead, would make him not real. It would mean that his Holy Spirit isn't even real. It doesn't live and abide within us. It doesn't lead us and guide us into all truth. Hey, the whole Bible would be fake. You choose to do wrong. I choose to do wrong. We need to start off our day with, you're wrong. He's what, church? He's right. Faith believes God. I believe that I can rear my children for God. I believe that they can turn out good for God because God said so. Faith is agreeing with God and taking action according to His instruction. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen, I know this for a fact. I don't think there weren't very many times where I was allowed to go do something that I really shouldn't do. I had some very strict rules growing up. I wasn't allowed to have sleepovers, and I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things that other kids did. When I did wrong, I'm not going to sit here and blame it on my grandparents, because they had very strict rules for me. They had very strict guidelines for me. The reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to know that no matter how hard you try, kids are still going to be kids. Everybody okay? They're still going to mess up, but you still need to be mom and dad in the hard times. Not just when things are going good. You know, some of my best memories, to be honest, I say best memories, was when I messed up and I ended up getting in trouble, you know, besides the whipping part and all that horrible part of it. But some of my best memories are sitting down with my grandmother and grandfather and just listening to them talk and tell me how much they really do love me and why I had to go through the punishment that I had to go through and why there was consequences for my actions, because they wanted me to understand that, one, nothing's free in life, right? Nothing's free. And they wanted me to understand that there are indeed consequences for your actions. You know, you play stupid games, you get stupid prizes, right? Amen? And they wanted me to understand that. But listen, kids, when your parents, I'm talking to the kids right now. Parents, you can just put your heads down for a minute if you want to. I'm going to talk to your kids for a minute. If you're under 18 and under, raise your hands. All right? Here we go. Listen to me. If you still live with your parents, raise your hand. Okay, here we go. Listen to me. Parents, just enjoy this part, okay? I want to hear some amens now. Listen, mom and dad don't live with you. Y'all all right? I heard some parents. There we go. I'll say it to this side now. Mom and dad don't live with you. Okay? You live with mom and dad. So therefore, what mom and dad lay down for you to do is going to be what you need to do. Because for you, you have the easiest job in the Bible. There's not very many instructions to children in the Bible except to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So when mom and dad make a rule, and I don't agree with it, Pastor, look in the mirror and say, you're wrong. They're right. Y'all okay, kids? Y'all ain't ever going to come back to church, are you? Listen, what I'm trying to tell you this is this. I had a lot of rules growing up that I didn't like. A whole bunch of them. But I quickly learned when I became a father that those rules that I didn't like all protected me from something. They protected me from a lot of heartache. Probably death. There were a couple of times that I did some silly things, and I can't even remember the whole thing enough to tell you the story. But you know what I did? I broke the rules. I got in trouble. I didn't like it that my grandparents wouldn't let me have a phone. I mean, back then we didn't have iPhones, no Samsungs, no smartphones. None of that even existed. They were all flip phones. And I wasn't allowed to have one. And I couldn't for the life of me understand, like, don't you understand that I'm 16 years old? I need a phone. And they said, I'm not going to tell you what she said. I can't do that. Not up here. Basically, you know, needing one hand, okay? And wanting the other and see which one fills up first, right? You ain't getting it. And so I got a little upset. I'm like, well, if you only knew these stupid rules you're making for me. That's what I thought in my heart. Like, my grandparents are dumb. All these dumb rules they're making. How many of you kids thought about that about your parents before? Don't raise your hands. Oh, somebody did. Praise the Lord. We got some honest people in here. There we go. Hey, listen, God will work with honesty, babe. I promise. Listen, there's always going to be rules that mom and dad are going to set up that you're not going to like. But you're the one that's wrong when you break the rules. And you're bringing your parents shame. Next week we're going to talk about that. But I just want you to understand that, kids. When mom and dad set rules for you, obey them. Now, let me talk to the parents for a minute. Kids, you can put your heads down now. We'll take the pressure off of you. How many parents, grandparents we got in the house? There we go. Okay, listen now. Simple. I told your kids when they make rules or when you make rules, what do they need to do? Follow them or obey them, right? Now, let me tell you something, parents. When you make rules, stick to them. Y'all all right? When you make rules, what should you do, parents? The moment you compromise on your rules is the moment your kids will know it's okay to disobey and they'll get away with it. Because all they had to do was manipulate you. So kids, when parents make rules, what should you do? Everybody, all the kids say follow them. Kids, when your parents make rules, what should you do? And parents, when you make rules, what should you do? Stick to them. Mom and dad, agree. There's no, well, you know, little Johnny came to me, honey, and I think you're being a little too strict. No, don't do that. Don't have that kind of home life. It's kind of like this. My grandparents used to say this. I never remember a time where I went to one of them. They always asked me this question. Have you talked to your grandmother or have you talked to your grandfather about it? And if I said, yeah, the answer was always this. What did they say? Anybody have parents like that? There ain't very many parents like that left. Oh, well, you just go. I'll talk to dad when he gets home. He'll be fine. But mom, dad said no. Oh, I'll take care of dad. You know, that's America today. Or dad, who's really never present anyway, most of the time in America today, will try to be the good guy, try to be little Johnny and little Susie's friend because he's not a dad. Oh, yeah, go. It doesn't matter what mom's rules are. You're a dad. Hey, how many know that home ain't going to work? So parents, when you make rules, what do you need to do? Kids, when parents make rules, what do you need to do? Follow them. So parents, we need faith to raise our children. Number two, we need some guts. Everybody all right? We need some guts. Having guts is having internal fortitude. A parent must decide that he or she is the parent. Amen? I'll say that again. A parent must decide that he or she is the parent. I mean, after all, God gave children to the parents, not parents to the children. The parent must decide who is in control. If a parent spends all their life reacting to their children, they will not make much difference in their children's lives. Say, what do you mean reacting? I mean reacting versus acting. Reacting to, why'd you do that? But you don't want to take that time to train them not to do that. You just want to expect them to do it, but you've never really took the time to show them. You know, how many remember your parents teaching you things growing up? I remember learning how to fish. And I know lots of different teachers out there, but you know, I remember my granddaddy used to take me down there, and I was probably 3 years old, and there came a day where, you know, it was time for me to stick my hand down in the worm bucket and take the worm and fight with him. He's wiggling around and get poked in the fingers. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? There came a time where he said, look, if you want to learn how to do this, son, you're going to have to do this on your own. Amen? And I mean, I'd poke my fingers, I'd be bleeding, and he'd say, hey, it's okay. Do you want to catch a fish or not? Had to learn somehow. I remember growing up, he processed deer meat, and I remember when he finally let me start using the knife, and he always said, all right, don't do this, don't do that, you're going to cut yourself. I remember, countless times I got scars all over my hands where I'd be rearing back, and he'd say one of his biggest rules was, don't bring that knife back towards you, because you're going to do what? Cut yourself. Man, I did that, and I cut myself, and I cut my finger. But look at this. Hell, I told you not to do it. I say, well, you want to finish this? Oh, no, you started. You finished, but you don't understand, my finger hurts. Yeah, well, you didn't listen. You weren't careful. You didn't pay attention. The job still got to get done. Let's go fix it and get back to work and learn a lesson. Right? But see, we expect our kids to just do, and we don't take time to train. You know what I'm saying? It's like potty training a kid. I mean, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds shouldn't be wearing diapers. Y'all with me? I'm serious. A little man back there said, amen. What I'm saying is, whose job is it to train that child to go on the bathroom, to go to the potty? And it takes more time than others. I mean, my girls were a whole lot easier to potty train than my boys. I think girls are cleaner than boys. All the ladies should be saying amen right here. I'm trying to help you. Boys are just gross. I mean, you don't believe me? You should come to my house one morning before when my boys don't take showers at night and open up their door in the morning. It's like, whew, what in the world is that? The other day, I'm going to embarrass one of them. I'm not going to call his name. But I opened up their door, and immediately I smelled feet. I mean, it was terrible. Thank God the door was shut the night before. Because when I opened that thing, it legitimately, I couldn't walk in the room. I said, son, what is that smell? And I looked at the foot of his bed, and he had his dirty socks folded over the foot of his bed there. I'm just like, are you serious? And two of his other brothers were just in there soaking it in, man. Loving it. I'm like, that must taste real good. It was disgusting. So what did I tell them? Get your dirty socks out of your room, please. They stink so bad. Don't be afraid. But look, when they're little, we should teach them when they're little, look, where do dirty clothes go? In the laundry room. But listen, parents, hear me out now. That's funny. But if you come behind your children and pick their dirty clothes up for them, they're never going to learn to put the clothes in the dirty clothes. And can I say this? It's okay to teach your children how to push those buttons on that washer and dryer. And it's also okay to teach them how to fold that laundry up and put it away when they're done. That shouldn't be mom's job, guys. Now, God bless your mom if she does it for you. But it's really something that you should learn how to do. You understand what I'm saying? But how are we going to teach them if we don't train? We must be patient in teaching our children. Those are just some funny stories. A parent must be willing to tell his children, I'm the parent, and I'm the one who decides what you do. You know, we don't have many parents like that left. It really boils down to this. Well, I'm the kid, and I'm going to make your life miserable if you don't give in. I got 6 kids, and they all try to play that game. They do. And sometimes it doesn't end well. And I'm just being serious. Like, I think back to how I was raised, and sometimes my kids will do things, and I think to myself, if I would have said that to my grandmother, I wouldn't be here today. I'm lucky to be here now. I'm just saying, I'm telling you the truth. And I think, you know, I remember when a couple of our boys were little, and this is probably terrible of me to say this, but I remember thinking when I was trying to figure out this whole being a dad thing and getting frustrated with young kids, I thought to myself, I'm just going to ship you off to Lizard Lope for about 2 months. This was back when my grandma could still swing a switch. I'm like, she can go to jail for it. I ain't going. But I thought to myself, you know, if you just had about 2 months, she'd fix you. But then I thought to myself, it's not really her responsibility. You hear what I'm saying? See, we got too much of that going on. The problem is, I didn't have the guts to put my foot down because I felt bad. Parents, don't feel bad for disciplining your children. You don't have to beat them, but you need to discipline them. I'll show you next week what you really are if you don't discipline them. Bible teaches that you don't really love them. You're leaving them to themselves. You'll be visiting them in prison. Hear what I'm saying? Often when I drive through bigger cities, you see people doing this right here. You roll up and you'll see them doing this. Needle marks all over them. 20 years old, look like they're 50. Out there wearing mismatched shoes. Clothes that they found on the ground, holding up a sign. I think to myself, what if I ever drove by and saw one of my babies doing that? Who failed there? Who failed? Mom and Dad, we got a responsibility. I can't help but think of the parents that probably see their children like that. And I can't help but think that maybe the thought that if I'd have had a little bit more faith in raising my children, if I'd have had some guts to put my foot down instead of letting my children walk over me, they may not be like that. And again, parents, don't blame yourself. If your kids go astray, here's what you have. You have a promise in the Bible. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. You can rest assured that if you do your job biblically, God's going to do his job. Amen? That's a promise. Many parents react to what their children do rather than act like responsible adult parents. Parents must act on purpose, not just respond to their children. I cannot stress enough the importance of learning to act rather than react. The following are required for a parent to act on purpose. Listen to this. Learn to think. You ever think about that? Learn to what? Think. One must think with his mind instead of his emotions. You ever met someone that thinks with their emotions? Like, for instance, you ever met a kid who's good at playing mom and dad against each other? Well, one's really harsh and is really, really not going to let go of his or her commands, and the other one's just a softy. Kid can get whatever they want out of him or her. You see, what happens is that parent's thinking with their emotions, well, we shouldn't really have all these rules for him. And mom and dad on the other side's like, yeah, he needs a whooping. You know what I'm saying? You should whip your children if they try to bring you against your wife or your husband. Discipline them. That's disrespectful and wrong. Kids, don't do that. You're going to bust your parents' marriage up is what you're going to do. And you'll be responsible. And one day when you don't have mom and dad together, you'll look back and you'll think, if I just would have obeyed instead of being rebellious and spoiled rotten, my parents might still have a good relationship. Don't ever think that your decisions won't affect your home, kids. I can tell you what, I have six at home. And if one gets out of line, everybody in the house knows it. Y'all all right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because it affects you when someone that you love is out of order. It affects you when one's going astray. Yeah, you still got to be mom and dad to five more, but you're worried sick about the one. You know what I'm saying? You remember the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one went astray? The shepherd forgot all about the 99 and he went after that one. You know what I'm talking about? It's no different. Kids, your decisions will affect your home. Learn to obey. Don't play your parents against each other. Learn to think with your mind, not your emotions. Think through what you are doing, what you want to accomplish with your children, and how to get there. I wonder how many of us would even be able to say, Brother Drew, I have goals for my children. I wonder how many of you even think about that. How many of us even think about that? We're just trying to live day to day. You know, one of the most common things I hear is, I'm just trying to make it through the day. And that's good. But what is really your goal for your children in life? You know, we raise them up, we bring them to church, we take them to Sunday school, we teach them how to sit still in church, and what we should be doing is preparing our young ladies how to be wives and mothers someday. Amen? Oh man, it's quiet. What we should be doing is teaching our young ladies how to be wives and mothers someday. And what we should be doing is teaching our young men how to grow and fear the Lord God and learn to be husbands of one wife and fathers one day. That's what we should be doing. But we're worried so much about carnal things that do not matter. God's given us some great responsibilities. But we just go with the flow, day by day. Have a destination. If you let that destination be the driving force in all that you do, it will keep you from the stress of the moment. Someone once said, shoot at nothing and you are sure to hit it. Shoot at nothing and you're sure to hit it. A man or lady is not a failure who doesn't reach their goal. A person is a failure who sets no goals. You ever think about that? Have some goals for your children and help them reach those goals. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Most parents try to cure their children's behavioral problems rather than training them to prevent those problems. Have enough guts to take control of any situation regarding rearing your children. Having guts means intentional parenting. On purpose, train your children. It takes time to get your children where you want them. Be patient. But can I say, we must have faith. Number two, we got to have guts. What else do we need? We need this, a calm spirit. I wonder how many of us can say, Brother Drew, I struggle with that one. A calm spirit, right? Notice the order of these. You know what would help you produce a calm spirit? Number one, having faith that God knows how to do this thing. And number two, having guts to stick to your rules. You know why our spirits aren't calm? Because we don't have enough guts to put our feet down. When we really want them to do something, but we'd rather not hear it, so we just give in. And by faith, we just, whatever, I don't want to deal with it. Now your spirit's is a mess because you, on purpose, went against your rules. If we're going to do this thing, listen, you must have a calm spirit. One must be in control of himself before he can control his or her children. Proverbs 25:28 says this, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know, back in the old days, cities used to have walls around them. Now someone tell me why they had walls around them. Protection, right? What were you going to say, buddy? Good. They had walls around them to protect them from what? The enemy. Bad things that they did not want in. They had gatekeepers at the gate. No one came in without permission. You scanned them, whatever they did, they made sure that whatever came into their city wasn't going to harm them. Imagine as a Christian with a bad spirit, you have now put down your walls of protection and now the devil has all out access to you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? This is what happens. You say, it don't matter if I'm mad. Don't matter if I'm angry. Not according to the Bible. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What happens when the walls are broken down? Infection comes in. Brother Suter has a series called Protection from Infection. Maybe when he's here in February, we'll get to hear about it. But I know this, if our spirit's messed up, the devil realizes that. And now he can send thoughts. He sees, oh, his walls are down. His spirit's bad. He's let his guard down again. And here comes the fiery darts. And they're coming from every which direction. And pretty soon you're like, I don't even know how I got here. You understand what I'm saying? You wake up one day and you're like, why is my life such a mess? Anybody ever been there before? Then you quickly realize, good night. I've strayed away from what God's told me to do. I need to put those walls back up. Well, how do I put them back up? Repent. Turn away from your iniquity. Turn away from your sin. A parent who does not have control over himself does not have any defense. He is subject to reacting rather than acting. When one is not in control of himself, he will not be in control of his children. Y'all hear what I said? When you're not in control of yourself, you'll not be in control of your children. Because here's the harsh reality of parenting. Our kids know us better than anybody else. And that's scary, ain't it? See, our kids see the good times. They see the bad times. They hear the good things that come out of our mouths. They hear the naughty things that come out of our mouths. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? They hear the things that we preach and teach against, and they see the things that we allow in our home that we preach and teach against. Y'all listening to me? They know who we really are. And it's real hard to respect a hypocrite. Ain't it? It's hard. If you work with somebody who you know says one thing, but behind the scenes, he's made the boss man think he's something that he's really not, and you know it, you're not going to respect him. Why? Because he's not real. Well, what are we giving our kids to respect? You know, God commands us to be real. Amen? To be conformed to His image and likeness. But why would your kids respect you? It's a simple question. Why would they? Are we acting as the parents that we should be acting like? Or are we giving our kids no reason? And kids, listen, that doesn't give you an excuse to dishonor your mom and dad. Understand that? What I'm saying is mom and dad should give you a Christ-like image to look up to. Y'all with me? That's what they need to be doing. That's what I need to be doing as a dad. But ask yourself the real question tonight, mom and dad. Am I doing due diligence for my children? Am I doing due diligence for my grandchildren? He will always, those who have no control over their spirit, will always have to tell their children more than one time. And will have to raise the decibel level of each successive command. Hey, guilty. Been there. With each successive command, intensity goes up. Your home ever been like this? Didn't I tell you to do that once already? And they look at you. And they notice if you're going to say something else right now, and then they'll go back to what they're doing. Hey, didn't I tell you to get up and do that? Anybody ever done this? Pretty soon you come back in and it ain't done. And then you're like, all right, get the paddle. Hey, the paddle should have been gotten the first time. Should have never got to where your spirit's out of control. Y'all know what I'm saying? That's part of training, right? Is everybody okay? I hope I'm not offending nobody. With each successive command, intensity goes up. Eventually, now here it is. Remember, kids are very smart. Very smart. Eventually, when the volume and intensity reaches a certain level, the child will say, now mom and dad means business. They know exactly who you are. And then they'll get up as if it's not the 13th time they've been told to go clean their room. They'll go clean their room because they know now that's it. You can't get no louder. You can't get no madder. They know now it's either do it or die. Right? Well, it should have been do or die the first time. Right? I mean, nobody likes to be disobeyed. It's like this. If a policeman loses control of his own emotions, he soon loses control of the situation and makes dramatic mistakes. Parents, listen. You've got to have control of your home. God gave you that home. Your children are not in control of the home. Amen? Control the home. And lastly, we need faith. We need guts. We need a calm spirit, and we need this, bulldog determination. Y'all ever seen a bulldog before? And when them jokers get determined, they're determined, right? They pretty much get what they want when they really buckle down. Wasn't too long ago, we were over working on the house. This is another funny story. You guys remember Aaron that came down here during VBS, the redheaded kid? Well, we were over there, and me and Jack and a couple more people were standing around, and if you've ever met Jack's dog, Chief, he's got some bulldog in him, and he's a really sweet dog, but he's also a protector. He's a service dog. And I saw Aaron walk out the front door of the church, and, you know, my kids are walking around. Chief knows my family, and I thought it'd be funny to say, get him. But it wasn't so funny. We're standing way over there. He walked out the front door, and he almost gave us a new entrance on this side over here. Chief bolted across that parking lot, and I mean, he was bulldog determined. Aaron wasn't going another step. Why? Because I said, get him. He was determined. And Aaron was like, scared to death. I mean, it was comical to watch because Chief wasn't going to bite him, but he also was determined that until one of us called him off, he wasn't moving. You know, what if we had some parents with that kind of determination in raising their children? I'm not going to let the devil get my kids, no matter what. I'm not going to let the devil have my children. See, God gave you those children. Amen? He didn't give them to you for the devil to steal from you. He gave them to you to raise and to the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to train. You must decide, devil, you're not going to get my children. You must determine to do what you have to do to rear your children for the Lord and to keep the devil from getting them. Bite into this thing of parenting and hold on with everything you have. Do not turn loose until the trumpet sounds. Say this, I'm not going to let go of this thing because this is the will of God in Christ concerning me. Now that I am a parent, I'm going to take my responsibility seriously. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Miss Barb's going to come to the piano.